Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Cowboys Deion Sanders thing not going away. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, both sides not saying no, saying they're intrigued, thinking about it. You've got, you know, with two people as famous as Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones, you're going to also have a lot of people speaking on their behalf. So you're hearing guys like Michael Irvin come out and say this is a match. Stephen A. Smith, others around sort of Deion also pumping this up, saying that he's definitely interested and there's mutual interest.
Yeah, it's such a weird situation too, because I don't totally understand what the Cowboys' real desire for Deion. Like, do they want Deion? We know the Bears want Ben Johnson. That's very clear. We can kind of tell the Saints want Aaron Glenn. But like, we don't. Do the Cowboys really want them? Are they interested? Is this more Cowboys mind games? Like, are they just trying to get attention? Is this? It's really hard to tell if it's real on their end. To me,
yeah, and. Yeah, I don't think that Deion would need this, but, you know, does it help him get some kind of contract, bigger contract at Colorado? Are they using him against? I don't think he would do that, and I don't think he needs that. There's no way Colorado's moving on. Like, Deion will say when Deion's done with Colorado. I don't think he needs this for leverage or anything. I think there's maybe some real interest because, you know, maybe it's not that, it's not, doesn't feel as fun. And this, Deion's not saying this, I'm projecting it. Maybe it's not as fun being Colorado if Shador's not there.
Yeah,
or Travis.
No, like, definitely.
Okay, maybe now, all right, it's been awesome in Colorado. You know, turned around a program in two seasons. They had one win, then four wins, then nine wins. You go to a bowl game. You know, you put them back on the map. And maybe now the new challenge of coaching the Dallas Cowboys, which probably would not be with Shador unless some crazy, crazy hijinks goes on, then maybe this is a cool new challenge. And they've got a close relationship. Maybe Deion is the one who can actually get through to Jerry Jones. Maybe Jerry respects him so much for the career he had with the Cowboys and other places that he could actually, I don't know, cut through the noise and really have a say in front office things too.
Yeah, but I think he has a probably a better chance of winning at the highest level at Colorado, believe it or not, because he's got like big time players. The NIL has changed college football, obviously. Sure. I think like right now, it seems like he's competitive with Alabama, Georgia, anybody. Like, I think if he wants a guy, now he's in play. So I think he has a great chance. If he stays there for 5 years, then he could maybe compete, like at the highest level. Listen, nobody did better in quarterbacks this offseason. Nobody did better than getting Jordan Seaton last offseason. Like, he's on a bit of a roll. So I think that's, I think he could look at Dallas and be like, ooh, I don't know if I can win with this team. Maybe he's like, oh, well, I set the standard in the 90s. I know what a winning Cowboys team looks like. I could bring this. But if he is actually realistic about the roster, it's old, it's injured, and it's expensive. I think he honestly will have better roster luck comparatively at Buffalo. I mean, with the Buffaloes.
Yeah, 855-212-4227.
Or at Buffalo. Sean McDermott loses this weekend.
I don't know. I see Deion if it with the Bills. But
think about it. Like, he could really build a powerhouse in Colorado if he did this in 2 years. I know Travis Hunter and his son are leaving, but he's got the number one quarterback recruit, and he can always get wide receivers. Like, and I think he'd get cornerbacks. the fact that he turned that offensive line around for what we saw his first year is a miracle.
You're right. It's not as crazy as I think people have made it out to be. And I was just surprised. I thought that the overwhelming response from Cowboy fans yesterday was, oh boy, roll their eyes. Circus coming to town. This is not real. This is just to get headlines. This is just for a sideshow. This is not a serious conversation. And I don't think they want it to be serious. I think it is kind of serious. And you got to leave Shador out of it. But to be fair to Stephen A. Smith, he made a good point yesterday when he said, listen, Deion's about to coach the Buffaloes without Shador. Obviously, life moves on. People move on. And Deion himself said he wants to coach in the NFL and wants to coach his son. But I don't see how the Cowboys would be able to pull that off unless they really get aggressive trying to trade up. They're at 12 right now. You'd have to get up to 1 or 2.
And you're paying Dak Prescott.
And also, I don't know if the Titans and the Cleveland Browns are putting these picks up for sale.
No. No, that's not happening. Also, the Cowboys are the most conservative coaching hire team in the league. Like, they're going to take this big of a risk? No way.
Okay, so this is interesting. Yesterday, we heard from our pal Matt Mosley, who believes that John Gruden is in play for the Cowboys. And part of it is because, Gruden wasn't really that great with the Raiders at the end. But sort of getting John Gruden back into the NFL and also, like, a thumb your nose at Roger Goodell, who was one of the targets of John Gruden's homophobic and racial emails that got leaked. And maybe Goodell wants to keep him out. But the fact that Jerry might like that and might hire John feels like a big decision to make based on revenge.
Yeah, but I mean, Gruden fits the Mike McCarthy pattern very well. One-time Super Bowl winner, offensive genius. He's basically, I assume, was McCarthy on that famous Packers staff with Gruden?
I think they were.
I don't know if McCarthy was there.
I think McCarthy was in San Francisco during that. But
I'm not sure. But anyway, it feels like they were on this. They're basically kind of carbon copies of each other, except for Gruden's extracurricular stuff.
Sure.
And then Pete Carroll's also a one-time Super Bowl winner with experience. So feels like either he's going to go with a former assistant. To me, like, he always does the same thing. He's going to hire Jason Garrett 2.0, and who's that? Kellen Moore. Or he's going to hire Mike McCarthy 2.0, and who's that? Pete Carroll. So I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't even think he's going to offer Deion.
Okay, so when this all came down, I was puzzled a bit. I thought McCarthy was going to come back as the head coach. And I thought, man, this is Jerry. He's always playing everything out to the very last day of the contract. And now they're behind the eight ball and trying to get these interviews. I was listening yesterday to Mark Domenech, who's the former GM of the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he had a different spin on this. And this is someone who's been in the league. He said the Joneses know exactly what they're doing.
You know, it sounds good. It sounds interesting, I guess, is the best way to say it. Like, prime time in Dallas and what would it be like. But I don't see Jerry Jones going that route. And I don't see the Jones family already not knowing what they're going to do. I can't imagine you would do this and not already have a plan in place of what you're going to do. You're not just going to be like, okay, let's start the coaching search because we're letting Mike go. Mm-mm. That is not a Dallas Cowboy mindset. And I have a hard time believing that. I think Jerry and Steven have a plan. And I think that you'll see it come in play pretty quickly.
Okay, so that's a little different, I think, than the public narrative, which is they're behind the eight ball, right? And maybe it did it take them this long to know they're moving on from McCarthy? Here's Mark Domenech, who is a GM in the NFC, and said, listen, they know exactly what they're doing. They already have the guy picked out. And he goes on to say he's connecting dots here of who the Joneses are targeting.
I think the dots are there. I don't know if I'm seeing a maze or if I'm seeing a problem, but it just seems like it's convenient that Ben Johnson's shut down now. When you think about the Dallas Cowboys today, just walk away from their head coach, and they've got to have a plan in place.
Okay, so he's saying that he thinks Ben Johnson is the target, right? And he didn't. It kind of implied that maybe there's already been some kind of back channel conversation between Ben Johnson and the Dallas Cowboys, and sort of Johnson knows that the Cowboys are interested. The Cowboys have told or gotten the message to him that he's their number one target, and he has to go dark because they're off of their bye week. Mm-hmm. You're in a game week and you cannot interview while the Lions are still active.
So what are the dots? I didn't hear a dot. What's his dot?
He thinks that the Cowboys are focused in on Ben Johnson and that they were able to wait on McCarthy because they're letting the first round of interviews play out because they have some kind of intel.
Wait, but I don't understand. Like, yeah, could that be Aaron Glenn? Couldn't that be Kellen Moore? Couldn't that be about 10 other guys? Like,
well, so,
but like, I don't understand. Like, when I hear dots, like, what's the connection to Ben Johnson? Just because Ben Johnson had to shut it down, that means that the Cowboys were targeting him? Like,
he basically
said, is there another connection between, my question is there more of a connection between Jerry and Ben Johnson?
No, not on the outside.
I
but
mean,
that
obviously,
the timing of this, that it actually, that the Cowboys were being more strategic about the timing, and that Ben Johnson is the pick because offensive coaches, like you always say, offensive coaches really are the thing. Like, it's going to be, unless you're just a culture setter like a Mike Vrabel, it's harder for a defensive coach to get hired right now. He thought the Cowboys would go offense over defense.
Yeah, I would hope so. Well, I mean, obviously, it's obvious Ben Johnson would be the number one choice for the Cowboys. But
see, I didn't think that was that obvious because...
Well, I mean, everyone's number one. Isn't he the number one choice except for... Now Vrabel's gone, it's probably all... Every vacancy's number one choice.
I don't know, because I don't know if Jerry wants an unproven guy. We talked to Matt Mosley yesterday. Yeah. He said he doesn't want a guy who's never been a head coach before, so...
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like... It feels when Jerry probably does know who he wants, and it feels like it's going to be Dave Campo 2.0. That's why he knows who he wants, and it's not a hot guy. That's why I feel like that's how he operates. He's not going to pay. I mean, what is... Ben Johnson's going to get $20 million a year.
That's crazy. 855-212-4227.
Yeah. Why is that crazy? I feel like...
The guy's never been a head coach.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's like knowing you could get Sean McVay the year before he becomes a coach. Like, his offense is amazing.
Okay. Well, let's see if it's Sean McVay. Let's see. Because we've anointed him Sean McVay. I don't know that he can be Sean McVay. A lot goes into being a successful head coach beyond just play calling.
Yeah, I feel like he's like Kyle Shanahan. Like, it feels like does not feel like a huge risk to me. Like, he's clearly going to take this offense. He's probably going to bring a bunch of Lions players. Like, I think it's...
How? Like, a lot of them are under contract. He's not bringing Penei Sewell.
Yeah, but there's another... I know they have another lineman who's a free agent. Like, he'll bring, like Rex Ryan when he came to the Jets. I always remember that. Brought all the fringe guys. Like, he'll bring in guys who are on his system. He'll go to a team with $200 million of cap space. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel... I think every team will want him. I don't know. For some reason, like, that marriage feels weird to me. Maybe it will happen. I just didn't really hear any dots because of the timing. Like, Aaron Glenn and Kellen Moore are also right there in the odds. Also in the same situation, right?
855-212-4227. Okay, so that's a little what's going on with the Cowboys. Coaching searches front and center. And they've inspired today's great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Today, Perloff, I believe you said this was the dumbest idea you've ever heard. You can't wait to talk about
it. Yeah, it's not a great debate. It's a stupid debate, and which is probably a good thing. Do you want to reveal what it is, Meg?
Today's great debate, who was the most forgettable NFL coaching hire? Most memorable. I mean, anyone can do that. Who was the most forgettable NFL coach of all time?
But the format's weird because if he's forgettable, then we all forgot him. So are we going to even know the names of the people that we choose here?
Listen, how can we outdo each other here on most forgettable?
Which is why what I was trying to explain last hour is my pick is forgettable to me, but the team that he coached, I'm sure those fans can't forget him.
Well, it's up for debate, as is everything around here. Okay, most forgettable head coach of all time. I'll go first.
Please.
I guarantee you don't remember this guy. And even if you are the most diehard Cleveland Browns fan, I don't think you remember this guy. It's a coach named Rob Chudzinski. He presided over a 4-12 Cleveland Browns team that in 2013 was just an absolute dumpster fire of a team. And by the way, the reason why you might not remember him is because he's nestled in between the tenures of Pat Shurmur and Mike Pettine. Two other very forgettable Cleveland Browns head coaches. There was nothing that was interesting about this team except for Josh Gordon had over 1,600 yards receiving, and that was it. The quarterbacks, Jason Campbell, Brandon Whedon, and Brian Hoyer all started games for the Browns. This is the most forgettable Browns team amongst many forgettable Browns teams. Rob Chudzinski is the most forgettable head coach of all time.
Everybody want to know how long would it take? We said it might take a week, it might take a month. It took 11 days. And I can tell you, and I'm not going to get in any specifics, but we talked to 9 or 10 of, I believe, the best coaches in the country. And I believe we came back with the best person to lead the Cleveland Browns with the kind of winning format that we want to have here in Cleveland that we all expect to have.
Yeah, that was Jimmy Haslam, the owner. This was the first year, I believe, he took over, and they went 4-12. Red flag. Rob Chudzinski is the most forgettable NFL head coach of all time. Perloff, you want to go next or you want to go last?
I'll go next. Okay. I was looking at Chris Palmer, who was the first Browns coach when they moved back to Cleveland. Do you remember? Anyone remember that guy?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't even remember him enough to do that.
Arnold.
Jim. Okay, I'm going. We had a funny bit earlier about people who had the same last name and first name. I'm going with Cam Cameron, also known as Malcolm Cameron, is his God-given name. Now, you may not remember him from his head coaching days. He has some other famous things about him. But in 2007, he coached the Dolphins to a forgettable 1-15 season.
We want them to fail forward fast. I want guys going out in this game not being afraid to fail. But if you fail, fail forward. What does that mean? Well, if you're failing forward, that means you're failing, but you're learning. And then you got to learn fast. Early in the first quarter, I want some guys to go out there and fail. Fail in the first half. We've got to be failing at a fast rate.
Sure. He achieved his goal. But do you guys remember, I think, yeah, the year the Ravens won with Flacco, he was their offensive coordinator all season, and they fired him in like week 13 and took off and won the Super Bowl right after that. So he, not only that, and one other fact about Malcolm Cam Cameron, he played college basketball and football at Indiana for Bobby Knight and Lee Corso, which
crazy.
Is an incredible fact. But
none of that sunk in, I guess.
I didn't. It's a name you know because it's Cam Cameron. It's like, why would your kid's name, parents name you Cam if your last name's Cameron? That's bad, right? That's like gray. So anyway, Cam Cameron's my vote.
We're doing the most forgettable NFL coaches of all time. That's our great debate. All right, EJ, go ahead.
All right, so I went with a guy who I think people will always remember as a coach, but many people forget that he coached this particular team. I'm going with Lou Holtz as an NFL coach with the New York Jets. And here's Greg Bartle with a show Perloff's been on, NFL's Top 10, talking about the Lou Holtz stint with the Jets.
For a coach to come in and bring the rah-rah mentality.
Oh, yeah, well hit.
It's a great shock and disappointment when he sees blank faces staring at him. Players in the NFL know what they're supposed to do.
Those guys had seen it all. They've been to the Super Bowl. They played for Weeb Eubank. Kind of tough to teach those old dog new tricks. In reality, he came in with some tricks.
Holtz tried to motivate using magic.
If you get it just the right way, you can actually rub it into your arm so that it'll disappear.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He did the old quarter in the ear?
Yeah. Lou Holtz. I mean, so this is Lou Holtz, a guy who had told the Jets in his interview, he told this to Steve Saville years later, that he had never watched an NFL game before taking the Jets' coaching job. And then he came in after not watching an NFL game and thinking that he could run a version of an option offense, a veer offense with Joe Namath, who had two busted knees and a torn hamstring. Jets averaged just 12 points a game that year. They had a 15-point differential, a minus differential, which is the worst in franchise history. Yes, including recent years, still the worst in franchise history. That one season, he won just 3 games in his 1 year, retired 1 game before the season ended because he basically told people, I am not fit for this job. He was just an NC State coach, went to coach the Jets, went on to do much greater things at Arkansas and Notre Dame after that. But Lou Holtz, most forgettable NFL head coach.
All right, Manny, you're up.
All right. I've had a lot of forgettable head coaches run my favorite football team over the last decade. And, I could have picked Pat Shurmur, Ben McAdoo was available. Even Steve Spagnuolo had an interim stint as the Giants head coach. But you know what? Nobody should remember what Joe Judge did.
We're going to practice hard on Wednesday. We're going to practice hard on Thursday. We're going to practice hard on Friday. Okay? And we're going to play for each other on the field next week. If we don't play well, every fan has a right to boo my stadium. You got that? That don't bother me. I don't want it. I don't think anyone wants to get booed, okay? But the reality is, that's all right, okay? It's all right. They have that right. So the fans are, Dan, go back to the first part, the fans are every bit right to ask what you're asking, 100%, okay? 100%. And I get about a dozen emails a day, all right? Six of which asking exactly what you're asking, the other six offering full support the other way.
Yeah, who would have thought that a special teams coach wouldn't work out for the Giants? Since he left the Giants, offensive assistant and quarterbacks coach with the Patriots, assistant head coach with the Patriots, and apparently now he's a senior analyst for Ole Miss. 10-23 record. I would love to forget you, Joe Judge.
He definitely got booed. That's for sure. Our great debate today is the greatest, most forgettable NFL coach of all time. Bogish, go ahead, sir.
Well, Maggie, I see your coach Chud, and I raise you Freddie Kitchens.
Since 1999, there's been ups and downs with this organization. And just like during the season, sometimes there's more ups and sometimes there's more down. And since 1999, I understand and I relish the fact that there's been more downs than up, but that ends today. I promise you that.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't end that day. 2019 was one season on the job for Freddie Kitchens. He was the Browns' running backs coach. He won six games that year, which actually seems pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good for this list.
He had Baker Mayfield, he had OBJ, he had Nick Chubb, but Freddie Kitchens, a one-year appearance as an NFL head coach. He runs offenses since then, and will always have a special tiny place in my heart because he was once a Giants assistant as well.
Do you know where he is right now?
I think he was technically at North Carolina, but I don't know if he still has a job there.
Oh, he's the only guy Belichick kept.
Oh, good
he's
for him.
The offensive coordinator for Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels. All right, there you go. Great debate today. Perloff called it stupid. The most forgettable NFL head coach of all time. Forgettable. All right. Lots more to do, including we will get to the Packers. I did not like what I heard yesterday from Matt LaFleur, a memorable head coach. But I didn't like what I heard. 855-212-4227.
Oh, Maggie, how'd you do last night? Because that's the first thing we talk about. I didn't hear today. Prize Picks, daily fantasy, the best way to watch sports. Even if you don't have an NFL game, there's so much to bet on. I was all over the NBA last night. 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks makes daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 1,000 times your money.
I was still reveling in my win when I took Sam Darnold less than passing yards, and I won that by a mile. And it was glorious. It was so awesome. You know, Prize Picks has even gotten me into sports that I don't follow on a daily basis, like soccer. Love pairing that with a sport I do follow on a daily basis, like the NBA, and obviously with the playoffs in full effect, Prize Picks is where you need to be. What do? You download the Prize Picks app now. They accept all major credit cards. They're available in more than 40 states, including California and Texas. And you just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on the projection, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 credit instantly. When you play $5, that's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly. When you play $5, you don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate today. Most forgettable coaching hire. It's just football. I'm sure every sport has its forgettable
just coaching NFL. Hire.
The fact that most casual fans can't name most of the MLB managers because the GMs run the show. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But NFL, we're in the coaching carousel, and everyone's excited about their hire, but we'll forget most of these guys in 12 years. I'm sorry, Jaguars, Raiders fans. I do not think you're going to get the guy that is going to be memorable. You went with?
Rob Chudzinski.
Who?
Yeah. Coached the Browns, but who hasn't? 1 year, 4-13. Yeah. Not good.
I went with Cam Cameron, former Miami Dolphins. Coach, Bogues.
I picked Freddie Kitchens, and I've already been chirped by people in Cleveland saying that Freddie is unforgettable.
Freddie is.
Which was my point. Like, I forget Freddie Kitchens as the Browns head coach, yeah. And I think most people might as well, but not in Cleveland.
Well, we remember Hard Knocks when he almost went through fists with Todd Haley in the meeting room. That was like, that's one of the great all-time Hard Knocks things.
And, like, I'll never forget Joe Judge as the Giants head coach.
Joe Judge going for it.
Back-to-back quarterback sneaks.
Giving up.
Second and 11 and third and 9 because they didn't want to take a safety.
Bogus and I will remember that in a decade, but John in Birmingham, Alabama certainly will not.
He shouldn't. EJ went with Lou Holtz, but as the Jets head coach.
Well, that could be also, it's a good one, but you could do this guy coach there, question mark?
Yeah.
That could be another great debate.
Pete Carroll as the Jets coach?
It's the ultimate fish out of water situation in sports, maybe.
It is. It's
Lou
up
Holtz
there.
In New York?
It is
the
true.
Jets? It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense. And Perloff, you went with Cam Cameron, who most people just remember as a longtime assistant, if you remember him at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And again, also had a claim to fame that he got fired by the Ravens right before the Super Bowl. Do you remember how bad he was? Like, they were driving everybody crazy. But he did have success elsewhere. And all these guys, like Rob Jasinski, he was Cam Newton's guy, right? That's what his claim to fame was. He rode Cam Newton's coattails to a head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he was at the University of Miami. I mean, sure, somebody's, of course,
all
we're kind of having some fun with these guys, but these are forgettable tenures. I said 4-13. Haha, Maggie, this was 2013. They didn't have 17 games then. It was 4-12.
Well, you know what's funny?
Seasons are terrible.
The lesson is all these guys were great offensive coordinators, and everyone's getting excited about offensive coordinators, but you don't think, our big difference is you don't think Ben Johnson's a guaranteed home run. You think Ben Johnson could be the next Cam Cameron or Rob Kaczynski?
Or Pat Shermer.
Or maybe not Joe Johnson because he wasn't even a good offensive coordinator.
Or Freddie Kitchens.
I
don't know. These guys could be great. They could be the next Belichick. Who knows? Or the next Andy Reid.
I got a special teams coach for you guys. Yeah, Joe Judge.
You said.
No thanks.
But you had the dumbest line. You're like, is that a reference to Belichick, who is famously a Giants special teams coach? Or because that can work.
That happened before 2000. That's not in. I didn't even think of that.
You're like, the Giants are hiring a special teams coach. I'm like, yeah, the best coach of all time was a Giants special team coach. Well, you know your history, Manny.
The problem is that Belichick definitely recommended Joe Judge.
Yeah. Yes, because he thought he was him. He's like, this guy is me.
Yeah, well, he needs to get his eyesight checked. Sean is in Oregon. Sean, what's the most forgettable NFL coach of all time?
Well, a lot of these guys are so forgettable. I had to think of this recent one. As Coach Nate Hackett.
Dude.
That guy came in and everyone thought he was going to do so well. And that's what makes me remember this is because everyone thought he was going to do so well with Russell Wilson. And I went on national radio and I was called an idiot. And I was told that Nate Hackett wouldn't be judged on his first year of coaching by JR Sports Brief.
We called you an idiot. Thank God.
JR's the man, Sean, but I'm going to disagree. Nate Hackett presided over, I guess like Joe Judge, one of the most dumbest yet memorable decisions. Sean, thanks for the call. Asking your kicker to make a 64-yard field goal in Seattle, it was so stupid.
Monday Night Football.
His debut.
First game.
Russell Wilson back in Seattle, like as much possible, you know, storylines everywhere. Nate Hackett, he was Aaron Rodgers' guy. And then after the game, like, what about that 64-yarder? He's like, yeah, definitely should have gone for it. Like, what? You second-guess yourself within 5 minutes.
There's nothing more funny to me than NFL head coach over their skis trying to explain things. Like
Vance Joseph having the time of his life?
Yeah, those guys are just, because you can just see the incompetence in their face when they're on the sideline. Like Joe Judge watching them QB sneak on second and third down, or watching Nate Hackett play through this whole situation. You could see that these guys in the moment are like, yeah, this might not, I might be in over my head on this.
Like the gears are like turning, not fast enough.
I didn't mention this in my Freddie Kitchens essay, but he called, I was telling Maggie this in the break, on a 4th and 9, he called a draw, which hadn't been called in that situation in 13 years in the NFL. It didn't work.
They'll never see it coming.
What the hell did you just say to me?
Did he call plays at Cleveland when he took over the head coaching job?
I mean, I do I don't remember his specific duties.
He went from like running back coach to head coach in a flash.
Yeah, because everyone had to get fired because they were all fighting with each other.
Yeah, because it was Hugh got fired the year before, and then Greg Williams, I think, did too good of a job filling in, and then he couldn't keep that, and they kept Kitchens instead.
And Haley,
they
too.
Liked yeah. Baker. I think Baker Mayfield liked him too.
By the way, yeah, Freddie was the play caller.
Oh, he was. Yeah, because like I thought it was funny. Like he was, again, not even a play caller before he got hired. Yeah, it's not good.
He's the only, I'll give him this, I believe he's the only Cleveland Browns head coach who wore a Dog Pound hoodie on the sideline when he's coaching a game.
He's very much like in the Nick Sirianni book, Maggie, where he definitely could also be one of the fans. Like he looks like a guy who could be in the Dog Pound.
It's like we just picked out Freddie, get down here.
You want to call some plays, Freddie?
I was telling you guys, look at it. If you want to have a good time, Google his highlights in college. I mean, he looks exactly the same. He's like 5'8", and he's just slinging it all over the field. It's great. I don't think he did. One of his team was great at Alabama. I think he like competed for a title.
Yeah.
But or actually, they might have like he was definitely like on some good teams.
Not the Browns.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof woof.
He won 10 games as a quarterback.
Yeah. That was like Gene Stallings, right? I think like they had just come off like one Gene year Stallings. Where they were close to a title. Anyway.
The most forgettable NFL head coaches of all time. That is the great debate for today. Bogish has headlines for us. You're welcome to call, by the way, 855-212-4227. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. In the chat, you can also leave your responses.
Guys, Pittsburgh Penguins great Evgeny Malkin is the latest victim of a home robbery. This one happened late Saturday afternoon in a Pittsburgh suburb while the team was hosting Ottawa. Malkin's 3 Stanley Cup rings are among the missing items. Now, one odd note from this story, apparently Malkin's home security system was down that day and his safe wasn't closed, so the job was a little bit easier for these robbers.
Oh, man. Does the alarm company know if your alarm's not on?
Yeah, that
like
I don't know.
Inside job type of thing.
Yeah, or like, can you if you're like kind of like casing a joint? Can you figure out things like that?
I don't know.
Things aren't going well for Malkin either on the ice.
Shane Wright peels it off the board, centering feed, scores. Ellie Golvenin right out in front. What a pass from Wright, and Tolvanen finishing the play. 3-2 Seattle, 11:06 to play in the third.
The Seattle Kraken scoring 3 times in the final 11-plus minutes last night in Pittsburgh to steal a 4-2 win. The Penguins have lost 3 straight and 7 of 8. The Jets are the first team to 30 wins, courtesy of a 6-1 rout of Vancouver. And the Sharks snapped the Red Wings' 7-game win streak, 6-3 in Detroit.
Our Sharks.
The Mike McCarthy tour begins today with an interview with the Bears, the Saints on the schedule for next week, and we still don't know if the Jets will want to meet with McCarthy. Former Jets head coach Robert Saleh interviewed for the Jags gig yesterday. Michigan D coordinator Wink Martindale discussed that position with the Falcons. He's meeting with the Colts today.
Who?
Those Colts will be the host team for the NFL's first ever game in Berlin next fall. That announcement coming last hour. The Pacers and Cavaliers finished a home-and-home last night. Indy won the opener, snapping Cleveland's 12-game winning streak. The Cavs return the favor.
Allen, run of the lane for the Cavs. In the lane to LeVert. Out front to Mitchell. Bounce right wing to Garland. 3 ball on the way. Got it! DJ buries a 3.
That's Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Garland with 24. 35 from Donovan Mitchell in a 127-117 win, ending the Pacers' 6-game run. The Kings' 7-game win streak ended in Milwaukee, 131-115. Giannis had 30, 11 boards, and 13 assists. And Zion scored 21 in the Pelicans' 119-113 win in Chicago. Men's number 1 Auburn took care of number 15 Mississippi State, 88-66. But fourth-ranked Alabama lost to number 21 Ole Miss, 74-64. And number 5 Florida fell at home to unranked Mizzou, 83-82. Number 19 Illinois put a 94-69 beating on Indiana in Bloomington. The Hoosiers down 28 at halftime, so some fans not happy.
Fire Woodson!
Is that forgettable Knicks head coach, Mike Woodson?
I say, is that vintage footage from the Garden from 10 years ago or whatever?
No, that's live in Indiana last night.
Oh, don't beat up my guy, Woody.
I thought people in Indiana were nice. Midwestern fans firing the coach.
The Bob Knight's Indiana? Come on, Pearl.
Yeah, no, I guess Indiana basketball is an exception.
I mean, now that the football team is good, I guess they've just moved on.
Once again, another, they're supposed to be good. Yeah, all of a sudden.
Things are upside down. You're right.
Yeah, it's
insane. Nothing makes sense.
It's insane.
It's a football school.
Yeah, Indiana's in the final 12 and for college football. And yeah, it doesn't make sense. And what's the other? There was another team in the ACC. Getting a bunch of teams in the 12. There's another really good basketball school.
What, Clemson and SMU getting into the college football playoff?
No, there's another basketball school that made the 12 team. Oh, no, Duke got the number one transfer portal quarterback. He's paying him $8
million. Bill Belichick is coaching the Tar Heels.
And Bill Belichick is coaching, exactly. Like, what? That's the one. Yeah, it's insane. Like, the ACC is going to become a football conference, and the SEC is going to become a basketball conference. Nobody's bothered by this except Andrew Perloff.
Yes.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's just like, that's how it goes.
It's never gone like that. You never had Auburn being awesome at basketball year in, year out, and not good at football.
Think about the old days, Pearl. Is they the old days?
There's Kentucky, and then you just sort of gut your way through the rest of that conference. No. Now, but bigger, like, the fact that SEC, can we just say they're not good at football anymore? Are we ready to jump there?
I'm not saying that. You're saying that. I'm going to offend half the country.
Yeah, Knoxville, Tuscaloosa, Auburn, all those folks listening, that is Andrew Perloff.
Yeah.
We love you guys in those affiliates.
I think your football team's just fine.
You guys are all winning national championships in the next 10 years.
You don't think a team from the SEC is going to win a national championship of college football in the next 2 years?
This year was a hot mess for the SEC, like a disaster upon a disaster. And structurally, they're screwed because they don't have a bottom like the Big Ten. Yeah, I think the SEC has a major problem with NIL. I think Alabama and Georgia are definitely going
to
fall off.
You were standing on the table banging your fist for Alabama to get into the 12-team playoff. You thought they were just fine.
I think the future is not great. I mean,
I'll show bet you that.
You don't think that calculus around the world?
No, I do. But I think an SEC team will win the college football playoff in the next 2 years. I don't think the bottom's falling out.
Who do you got?
Georgia's still a good team.
I'll take that bet. That sounds like a good bet because Georgia doesn't have a quarterback and Alabama has Kellen DeBoer and doesn't have a quarterback. I like this.
What about Texas?
That's the team.
Can Sark win the big one?
I have trouble seeing that happening. Don't you guys like have a little bit of like, he's got a little Ryan Day in him.
Yeah, but I mean, he's sitting on Arch and they were just in the Final Four.
God damn Arch. I forgot about Arch. If Peyton could win, then Arch isn't going to win. That's my best.
Okay.
If Peyton Manning didn't win, then Arch Manning's not going to win?
Yeah.
Peyton's
one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever seen and he couldn't win anything. So, yeah, it's the best.
What is he, Cody Rhodes? Like, his dad didn't win, so now he's not going to win.
It's a little different.
It's going to be funny next season when Vanderbilt wins it all.
They're
going to wish they didn't give Diego Pavia
I got a Tennessee problem. I might have an LSU problem next year, too.
I was also thinking about them as well.
Yeah. I feel great
Auburn,
about this.
Florida and Auburn are both top 10, too, possibly.
By the way, I'm feeling terrible about the bet I lost that I have to go sit at the Waffle House and eat waffles for 24 hours, but I feel great about this current bet, which we don't have stakes on, and I feel great about my black hole bet about Tom Brady and whether or not he's going to be broadcasting next year or whether he's going to go full on to the Raiders. And if he's not broadcasting next year, if he's one and done, you have to dress up like a member of the black hole. And if he is broadcasting next year, then I have to dress up like a member of the black hole.
Those are big waffles.
Vince Wilfork yesterday, hanging out with our pals Boomer and Gio. Vince Wilfork doesn't think that Brady's going to be broadcasting next year. He's on my side.
He also doesn't think that Brady's doing a good job while broadcasting this year.
And if that gets back to Brady, I'm not sure which way that would go, actually.
I know one thing that's, I know how it's going to go. It's not going to go with him pulling up on Vince Wilfork talking crazy. No. Vince Wilfork lost 40 pounds. He's still larger than 99% of people on earth.
Next question.
You know how Tom Brady would be like, oh, Vince Wilfork was a great player. Just gives about 400 platitudes to answer that criticism because that's how Tom Brady rolls.
Yeah. Might put a chip on his shoulder, though. I'll prove Vince wrong, but I don't think so. I think Brady's one and done, and you're going to be dressing up like a black hole.
You suck, Brady. All right.
I'm not even considering buying an outfit. I'm already picturing you in the black hole because that's not happening.
We'll leave it there. We see you guys on the phones. We're asking our great debate today is the most forgettable NFL head coach of all time. And I love the ones you have. So hang tight. We'll get to all of them. It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do the great debate. Today's question, the most forgettable NFL head coaching hire. Perloff, they can't all be winners. And judging by the turnover rate in this league,
yeah,
more are losers than winners. But that's their fault.
It's funny. We're getting 5 or 6 or 7 coaches getting hired this cycle. 4 of them are going to be disasters. You never see it coming. The other thing, too, is this is a long-standing take of Andrew Perloff. When the media decides what's a good hire and a bad hire, they are most often wrong.
Yet because, you love Ben Johnson. You're crowning him.
Yeah, I could definitely be wrong about that. But when I saw this ranking, I always remember this one. Doug Peterson was considered the worst hire ever made when the Eagles signed him. And, of course, he won a Super Bowl. We have no idea. And Urban Meyer was considered a good hire by a lot of people. So you just have no idea how it's going to play out.
It's so true. So we're asking you for the most forgettable NFL hires. Let's go to Josh, who's in Youngstown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, I mean, you could give a long list of any one of the Browns coaches since 1999, but Mike Pettine was definitely one of the worst.
See, I put Chudzinski. My pick was Rob Chudzinski, who coached right in between Pat Shurmur and Mike Pettine on the Browns, because at least Pettine had 2 seasons. Chudzinski had 1-4-12 year, and then he was out. We never heard from him again.
Which is probably.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good thing. I didn't like him either. I mean, Eric Mangini, Butch Davis, they were all terrible. It's just, you know, really, and this is probably not good to say, but Stefanski's probably the best one we've had since we came back.
Hey, Josh, do you remember Chris Palmer? Did you say him?
No, I do remember. I was just looking at a long list of him. I do remember him. I was at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you'd kill for Butch Davis. At least he went to the playoffs 1 year. Lost the wild card game, but...
Yeah, to the Steelers, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Josh, I'm going to be honest. This could have just been a Browns great debate, but we appreciate you waiting.
Yeah, I looked at a couple Browns guys, too.
I mean, I had to go with Chudzinski. Can I give you guys another one we haven't talked about? Remember Mark Trestman?
Mark Trestman is a buddy of mine, yeah.
Oh, he's a buddy?
Yeah, yeah. Mark Trestman's a genius.
Yeah, he is, but one year with the Bears, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mark Trestman was a real, real innovator on offense. He probably shouldn't have been a head coach. Did he get another head coaching job in college somewhere? I can't remember.
No, I think he went back to Canada. So he's a CFL legend.
Yeah.
Won championships. That's why I didn't want to bring him up, because he actually has won at a level of football.
Do you know the show 30 Rock? They insert Mark Trestman jokes because there's a giant CFL fan on the staff. I think he did get another job after the Bears.
Yeah, Toronto Argos, maybe?
Yeah, the Argonauts. I think they won.
So he's a Ravens offensive coordinator. And then I did see him recently. He was in one of the spring leagues. But now he's with the Chargers, too. So, yeah, he's the man. Great, great guy.
Well, he still could be on this list.
I mean, he's definitely one of those guys. I feel like people like Perloff and people who are in the industry know that he's great. But you tell fans, they're just like, we didn't see it.
Yeah, we missed it.
Right. He's always linked us to Walsh. Like, he's like a real cerebral genius kind of guy.
Let's go to Michael. I'm sorry. He's in Arkansas. Michael, the most forgettable NFL head coach was who?
So when I think of forgettable head coaches, I think of somebody who, like, was around a little bit and not exactly like a disaster. Mike Mularkey coached three different teams for six total seasons. Do y'all even remember which three teams he coached?
Oh, I know one of them. The Buffalo Bills.
Titans, right?
Yeah.
That's Steve.
He had a stint with the Jaguars where they went like 4-12. But like, he was aggressively mediocre everywhere he was.
Can I tell you the three guys I confuse? Mike Mularkey, Doug Marrone, and Ken Whisenhunt. I feel like they were on a three-person rotation
for a while,
the same jobs.
They were two out of three of those were Bills coaches. So
yeah,
what do they all have in common?
And all three were Titans coaches, I believe.
Was Marrone?
Oh, maybe not.
Oh, by the way, Michael, you were kind here to Mike Mularkey, 2-14 with the Jags. You gave him two more wins.
I mean, you know, it was forgettable. What can I say?
You're so right. And actually, guess what? I'm on his page right now. Mike Mularkey actually replaced Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah. Doug Marrone
coached. 1 year with Tennessee.
Doug Marrone coached the Jags. That's what I thought.
Yes, he did. In the AFC Championship game.
So you got
Thank you, Michael.
It's a Bills, Titans, Jags triumvirate of Whisenhunt, Marrone, and Mularkey.
Just the Bermuda Triangle.
And who's the guy? And Mike Munchak is in that, too, who also coached the Titans.
Mike Munchak also pretty forgettable.
Munchak, Marrone, and Mularkey, the three M's.
Uh-oh. I'm seeing some in the chat also. I want to make sure we get to you guys as well. Some people saying Antonio Pierce is going to be very forgettable. It just was shown the door.
One and done. One and done's are easy to forget.
Jeff Saturday. I'll never forget Jeff Saturday.
Nobody will. He's on TV right now. Like, he's not forgettable.
The fact that he came out of the broadcast booth mid-season and they thought that was going to work is unreal. Beat the Raiders, lost the rest of their games. There was another one. Oh, Dick Geron. Dick Geron, another Bills coach. I believe the Bears head coach.
I feel if you get two head coaching jobs, maybe you shouldn't be on the list.
Pine Needle has Jim Tomsula. Jim Tomsula. You talk about, EJ, that look of just being way in over your head. Jim Tomsula invented that look.
Absolutely.
P. Maddie says Mike Singletary, but Mike Singletary, I think, was too good of a player.
I'll never forget Mike Singletary. That guy dropping his pants in the locker room and telling Vernon Davis to take a hike during the middle of the game. Never forget. My favorite head coach, Mike Singletary.
Yeah, you are a huge Michael Singletary. You talk about him as a coach all the time.
It's hilarious. Come on.